through just say that things exist in dependence upon their mere name. If your self-grasping reduces or ceases, at that time you have completed your understanding of emptiness. And then he says, the meaning of this verse is very clear. Ooh, it's not to me. It's obvious, isn't it? When we gain this understanding of the union of appearance and emptiness, the higher level, when we understand that all the appearances are just mere names, they're just mere appearances, yeah? We understand that. We really deeply understand this. And our self-grasping reduces or ceases. So our self-grasping, how do you know your self-grasping has reduced? How do you know? You have less fear. You have less worry. You have less anxiety. You're much happier. You're peaceful. These are the signs of reducing self-grasping. If that's happening, it's a result of having gained this understanding. If that's not happening, it's a result of not having gained that understanding. It's pretty clear, isn't it? It's pretty straightforward. All Buddha's teachings give us signs, they give us measurements of whether we're making progress or not. We don't need to go asking people, how do I know I'm making progress? Well, you are making progress if your delusions are reducing, you're feeling happy. If your self-grasping is reducing, all your delusions are reducing. You know, you have less fear, less worry, less anxiety. You feel happy, you feel light. So, okay. I understand emptiness correctly. You know, I understand that things exist merely in dependence upon mere name. That's how they exist. I understand that, right? Self-grasping, reducing, or ceasing. Fantastic. We need to train in subtle dependent relationship that phenomena exist in dependence on their mere name and not from their own side. This means that we need to contemplate and meditate on this subtle dependent relationship continually. So I'll just remind you about the reasoning that we need to contemplate for a long time to get this appreciation of subtle dependent relationship. Things existing in dependence upon their causes and conditions proves that they do not exist from their own side. Okay, number one. Things existing in dependence upon causes and conditions proves that things do not exist from their own side. This in turn proves that the things we normally see do not exist. So things existing from their own side and the things we normally see, same meaning. And this in turn proves that the things exist in dependence on their mere name. There's just four steps in this contemplation. So the way things really exist is in dependence on their mere name. If we follow those four steps, we'll come to this conclusion. Yeah? Things existing in dependence upon causes and conditions prove that things do not exist from their own side. This in turn proves that things we normally see do not exist. And this in turn proves that things exist in dependence upon their mere name. There's no other conclusion, actually. There's no other conclusion possible. If we go through those three or four steps, come to that conclusion. Oh, okay. Now I have some understanding. So Geshe-la says, we need to contemplate and meditate on this continually. There's not something where you can just, oh, I get it, and then forget. So if we get some experience, we need to continually maintain that experience, like treasure that little experience. Treasure it, look after it, feed it, maintain it, develop it, increase it every day. You think, oh, I've got it now, I understand. And then next minute we go back to ignorance and suffering. No progress. The root text now says, moreover, if you negate the extreme of existence by simply realizing that phenomena are just mere appearance, and if you negate the extreme of non-existence by simply realizing that all the phenomena you normally see or perceive do not exist, that's one verse, and if you realize how, for example, the emptiness of cause and effect is perceived as cause and effect, because there is no cause and effect other than emptiness, with these realizations, you will not be harmed by extreme view. poetry, so beautiful. So obviously, if you mean what you think about this, since I will sincerely practice these instructions, the very first thing you should do is to memorize these three principal aspects of the path. By Jetsun Kapa, isn't it? Get all these verses, I think there are 14 or 15 verses, get them in your heart. It's not easy to do, especially for someone like myself. But once they're in our heart, already some meaning is coming. You know, we can contemplate them anytime. Yeah. This is the first thing to memorize. We must memorize these 14, 15 verses. Get them in our heart, you know. This commentary here is very simple about this. So I'll just go back to the verses. If you negate the extreme of existence, so what is that, the extreme of existence? It means believing that the things we normally see are true, believing things exist inherently. That's an extreme, because things don't. And the way, so if you negate the extreme of existence by simply realizing phenomena are just mere appearance, so just realizing things are just mere appearance or mere name, that negates, that stops us believing in the existence of things we normally see. Okay? So then if we negate the extreme of non-existence, so the extreme of non-existence, it's something that's exaggerated and doesn't actually exist. So the extreme of non-existence is an exaggeration of reality, thinking that things, not thinking, that things don't exist at all. Nothing exists. Yeah? And believing in that is the extreme view. So there's the extreme and there's the extreme view. There's these two things. Geshe-la makes it very clear in the book. So if I'm confusing you, I apologize. It's not surprising because I haven't memorized this little commentary here. But Geshe-la says extreme view is very harmful for ourselves and others. We know. Extreme view of grasping at the extreme of existence is most people's problem. Self-grasping, ignorance, grasping at the extreme of just believing in the existence of the things we normally see. So much trouble. And then, of course, we hear some teachings on emptiness. We go to the other extreme. Oh, things don't exist at all. Nihilism. Exaggeration. He says, extreme view is very harmful. For this reason, Jetsun Kapa advises us to apply effort to develop the above realizations. That's the ones we've been looking at. So we will be free from this harmful view. Buddhism is the middle way. Buddhist teachings are the middle way between these two extremes. Extreme grasp, extreme of existence and the extreme of non-existence, okay? And the minds that believe in inherent existence or believe in non-existence, these minds, very dangerous. Because of these minds, all the suffering in the world comes, all the wars, all the conflict, all the fighting, all the pain, all the trouble in this world arises from these extreme views. Geshe-la's teaching is the middle way between these two extremes, realizing appearance and emptiness, dispelling the extreme of existence through realizing things are mere appearances, dispelling the extreme of non-existence through realizing emptiness. Perfect. Hanging on to that non-dual reality, one object, not two, the union of appearance and emptiness.